Zig Ziglar believes that the ability to encourage is a key ingredient in effective management, says Ziglar. If you can catch people doing something well, no matter how small it may seem, and positively reinforce them for doing it, they will continue to grow in a positive direction. The late Norman Vincent Peale once said that when you encourage others, you will find your own heart with courage. Orlando Magic owner Rich DeVos once claimed that, quote, one of the greatest things you can give another person is the gift of encouragement. It is a gift with starting power and staying power. The equalizer, the punisher, the terminator, the Avengers, Green Lantern. My favorite superhero of all time. I love Green Lantern. I've never read a comic book in my life, but I used to watch the cartoons. And today I brought I have a stuffed Green Lantern. I'm a dork. I admit it. I know it. This is a gift. I love my little stuffed Green Lantern. I always keep him, and it reminds me that we're always going to be okay. But then I also brought this. This is my little Green Lantern Christmas ornament. Oh, no, I don't bring him out at Christmas. I keep him out of my desk every single day of the year because I just like it. It was a gift. I want to listen to this. This actually talks and lights up. Listen to what he says.
Brightest day and blackest night. No evil shall escape my sight. But those who worship evil's might, beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
Yes! Yes, all right, good. We're going to shut that off. Nicely done, Green Lantern. See, you never thought you'd be talking in church. All right. So, why do I say this? Why do I do this? Because all of these characters, these larger-than-life fictitious superheroes and characters, they all have something in common. They display courage. They give us courage. They show us courage. For young boys who grow up, they look at their comic book heroes and they watch the movies and they're given courage based on what these men stand for. And I tell you this, that we all need courage. And so I ask you, as we talk about Green Lantern and the Punisher and the Avengers, what about that superhero known as the Encourager? I mean, how large of a part does he or she play in our lives? Couldn't we use a little more encouragement in our lives? There's an old poem that goes like this. Poet says, it isn't enough to say in our hearts that we like a man for his ways. It isn't enough that we fill our minds with paeans of silent praise. Nor is it enough that we honor a man as our confidence upward mounts. It's going right up to the man himself and telling him so that counts. If a man does work you really admire, don't leave a kind word unsaid in fear that to do so might make him vain and cause him to lose his head. But reach out your hand and tell him, well done, and see how his gratitude swells. It isn't the flowers we strew on the grave. It's the word to the living that tells. You see, this is the rule of the encourager. This is the role of the encourager. The encouragement of each other has its roots in the early church and God's written word through the perfect example of the founder and the giver of both, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's do this today. Let's look at Romans 15, 1 through 7. Let's read this passage. And we're going to go through it. I want you to listen to the word encourage. I want you to listen to the word encouragement as how Paul lays it out in this passage. Here's what he says, starting verse 1. He says, even if we believe that it makes no difference to the Lord whether we do these things, still we cannot just go ahead and do them to please ourselves. For we must bear the burden of being considerate of the doubts and fears of others, of those who feel these things are wrong. Let's please the other fellow, not ourselves, and do what is for his good, and thus build him up in the Lord. Christ didn't please himself. As the psalmist said, he came for the very purpose of suffering under the insults of those who were against the Lord. These things that were written in the scriptures so long ago are to teach us patience and to encourage us so that we will look forward expectantly to the time when God will conquer sin and death. May God, who gives patience, steadiness, and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ toward the other. And then all of us can praise the Lord together with one voice, giving glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So warmly welcome each other into the church, just as Christ has warmly welcomed you, and then God will be glorified. I love that passage. Now, I can read that passage, and I can assure you of this. I am encouraged when I see this passage. In fact, if we look at verse 2, the encourager edifies, empowers, and builds others up in the Lord. You ever had anybody do that for you? Maybe it's at home where you live with an encourager. If you do, you're blessed. Maybe it's at your workplace where you work with an encourager. If you do, it's a gift. I hope it's here in the church when you come into the church and someone will lift you up and build you up, and when you leave the church, you'll say, I feel better because I was able to look up and understand that God through this person has encouraged me, not only today but every day. You see, this kind act of encouragement ultimately becomes a faith-to-faith adventure with God and a face-to-face encounter with man. Now, I used to play a lot of sports growing up. I liked sports, and I was okay. I wasn't great. But the one thing I remember distinctly is that my mom and dad never missed any games. I played football and baseball and some basketball, and I remember that I would always be able to look out, and I would be able to see my mom and dad. And the thing that I remember when I played football, because they were so far away up in the bleachers, I could never hear them, but I would look up and see them. But I remember in baseball specifically, my mom loved baseball, and she knew that I loved baseball. And so she would be out in the stands. Now, my mom, when she cheers, her voice cracks, so it would always kind of sound like this. Come on, Chad! You can do it! And I used to think when she would do that, because, and I mean, everybody heard her. And I would stand up there, and this guy was throwing seeds and curveballs at me, and I would be up there thinking, no, Mom, no, I can't. Have you seen what he's doing? Because nobody's going to be able to hit this guy, namely me. And my mom would say, you can do it. And honestly, what would happen is about the fifth inning, by the third time I was up, I started to believe that maybe, just maybe, I could do it. Because my mom believed in that gift of encouragement. My mom was one that stood behind me and beside me and said, you can do anything that God wants you to do. Dr. Richard Carlson, who wrote the famous and best-selling book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff, once asked this question. He asks, how often do you remember or take the time to tell people how much you like, admire, or appreciate them? For many people, it's not enough. In fact, when I ask people how often they receive heartfelt compliments from others, I hear answers like, I can't remember the last time I received a compliment. Hardly ever, and sadly, I never receive them. Carlson goes on. He says, there are several reasons why we don't vocally let others know about our positive feelings toward them. I have heard, he says, I have heard excuses like, they don't need to hear me say that. They already know. And I do admire her, but I'm too embarrassed to say anything. But when you ask the would-be recipient if he or she enjoys being given genuine compliments and positive feedback, the answer 9 times out of 10 is, I love it. Whether your reason for not giving compliments on a regular basis is not knowing what to say, embarrassment, feeling that other people already know their strengths and don't need to be told, or simply not being in the habit of doing it, it's time for a change. Carlson goes on, he says, telling someone something that you like, admire, or appreciate about them is a random act of kindness. It takes almost no effort once you get used to it, yet it pays enormous dividends. Many people spend their entire lifetimes wishing that other people would acknowledge them. They feel this especially about their parents, spouses, children, and friends. But even compliments from strangers feel good if they're genuine. Letting someone know how you feel about them also feels good to the person offering the compliment. It's a gesture of loving kindness. It means that your thoughts are geared towards what's right with someone. And when your thoughts are geared in a positive direction, your feelings are peaceful. Concludes Carlson. He says, the other day I was in the grocery store. He says, I witnessed an incredible display of patience. The checkout clerk had just been chewed out by an angry customer, clearly without good cause. Rather than being reactive, the clerk diffused the anger by remaining calm. When it was my turn to pay for the groceries, I said to her, I'm so impressed at the way you handled that customer. She looked me right in the eye, and she said, thank you, sir. Do you know that you're the first person to ever give me a compliment in this store? It took less than 2 seconds to let her know, yet it was a highlight of her day and of mine. People need encouragement. We went to see Inside Out Friday, to see the new movie. It was okay. We took the kids and my wife. It was her birthday. And we're at the Ovation, new Ovation. That's where they serve the food. So we were sitting there, and this girl named Heather. Heather was our server. Heather was great. Heather came up and was serving food. And so we kept thanking her. She said, I'll be back every 20 minutes, bring you food, fill your popcorn, whatever you need to do. And so anyway, we were leaving, and girls and Cam were made a beeline out of there. And there's a station where all the servers are. And I went behind the station. These girls were looking at me like, what's he doing? He looks weird. And I said, Heather. And she said, yes. And I said, I want to just tell every one of you here how great you were today. And this one girl looked at me, she said, you're the nicest man we've ever talked to in this theater. And I thought to myself how sad that is, that all I said was, you guys were great today, and that meant so much to them, because what I gathered from that, they never hear anything like that from anyone. Namely, someone who just ate their popcorn and drank their soda. Solomon said in Proverbs 12:25, anxious hearts are very heavy, but a word of encouragement does wonders. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:29, don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to, and what will give them a blessing. Now, don't encouragers bless others? Isn't that a gift when you get some sort of encouragement? Don't you feel just a little bit better about yourself or your situation when someone gives you that hope that comes from encouragement? You see, the means of God is instrumental for the encourager in addressing the needs of man. And this faith-to-faith, face-to-face adventure and encounter requires the power of God to empower and encourage man. Encouragement's not easy. It's just not. It takes strength. It takes dedication. It takes selflessness. It takes energy. It's a selfless act of kindness that acknowledges the person or the people in front of us. And folks, I can tell you this, encouragement, words of encouragement, a display of encouragement can change lives, it can save lives, it can impact lives, and in many cases, we don't even know it. That's the power of encouragement. You see, it's interesting. I growing up, I've never read a comic book, but I used to watch Super Friends. That was my show. My brother loved Looney Tunes. I watched Super Friends. And I remember the days when finally they would have a Green Lantern episode. I thought Green Lantern was so cool with this ring that would do whatever it was that it did. And I used to think, man, he really is a superhero. This guy helps people, saves people. This is great. And so I realized, and I remember thinking this, of just how super Batman and Superman and Green Lantern and Flash and all these characters were, and how much I wanted to be super. And I realized as a little boy, when I used to dream of being a superhero, never could be, but I dreamed of it, and I thought, how can we be super? Even today, how can we be super? How can we do heroic acts of kindness? How can we change people's lives? And then I realized we can just be like Jesus. See, we can be selfless like Jesus, and we can be heroic. We can do acts of kindness that look like Jesus. They're heroic. Verse 3 of our sermon text makes it clear that Jesus didn't please himself while on this earth. He suffered so that others would be strengthened. Jesus epitomizes selfless. Now, I'm a guy that watches a lot of movies. We watch a lot of movies, we'll admit it. We love superhero movies. I've seen every Spider-Man movie. We've seen every Batman movie multiple times. We watched Green Lantern's movie, which was horrible. We've seen all of those movies. And the thing that really distresses me when I watch superhero movies, I can't stand when the superhero gets beat up, put down, mocked, scorned, shamed. I hate it. It's the worst part of the movie. Because in my mind, as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, Green Lantern is super. He shouldn't be beat down, put down, beat up, thrown around. He should never have to go through that. But then I realize that all of us, and especially the encouragers, are going to struggle. It's not easy. Superheroes have strength. You know, it's interesting because the word strength comes from another word that translated means twisted together. Pastor Durrell Kiefer claims that, quote, it is a comforting thought to realize that God strengthens or twists himself with humankind to help us bear life's load. His spirit intertwines with our spirit and demands that we strengthen others, end quote. This is the role of the encourager. And there are times when encouragers will say, I'm too tired to encourage. There are times when superheroes will say, can't you figure it out yourself? Oh, it's the bat light. I've got to go. Oh, my world needs me. I have to go. Today, folks, our world needs us, and we are called to go. We're called to go out, and we're called to encourage and strengthen others. We are called to go out and give them hope. Now, this is not easy. In many cases, we don't feel like doing it because in many cases, we're too tired to do it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, he says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. The less I have, the more I depend on him. In essence, as we, the encouragers, edify, build up, and strengthen humanity, we can be weakened and we can be exhausted physically, but we can be strengthened, built up, and encouraged faithfully. Encouragement, folks, comes from God Almighty. That's where it starts. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, Paul says, may God, it's very clear, black and white, may God, who gives patience, steadiness, and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ toward the other. My question is this, because it applies not only to this church, but the universal church and everybody inside and outside the church. What would happen? What would happen if all of us would just say this? Today, I'll choose to encourage someone. Today, I'll choose to build somebody up in Jesus Christ. Today, I will choose to lift them up because of who I am in Jesus Christ. God is the ultimate encourager. He doesn't wear a cape. He just gives hope. And it's this hope that moves us on, that gives us power to accomplish heroic things. God told Joshua in Joshua 1 verse 9, he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Our heavenly Father is the encourager. Encouragers, your gift and your power comes from God. I always love it when I'm watching the movies or I'm seeing these characters, these larger-than-life characters, and where they get their power. I always think that's kind of cool. You know, like Batman, you know, Batman was a little boy in a cave and the bats were flying around him, and that was kind of what motivated him to become Batman. I love that Green Lantern, you know, what he did. I love the Superman, what he did. But every superhero has an origin, a source of power. And I look at us today and I realize that encouragers today have a source of power. There is always a power source. And for encouragers, their source of power is their Heavenly Father. It's where it begins. That's where it starts. Interestingly enough, God's Holy Spirit, who is referred to as the Paraclete or Parakletos, you'll see that word in ancient Greek text, but it can be translated as to exhort or encourage. In John 14, verse 16 and verse 26, and then in John 15, 26, we can see the Holy Spirit referred to as the comforter, the helper, and also we can see that translation might also apply to the word encourager. The reason that I bring this up is because in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, a powerful passage, Paul says this. He says, we all have different gifts as believers. Paul says, we all have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is encouraging, Paul says, then let him encourage. Folks, encouragement is a spiritual, scriptural, powerful gift. Regarding encouraging, God, through the Holy Spirit, gives some people the ability and the power to do it. Encouragers, now more than ever, we need it. Barnabas was called the son of encouragement in Acts 4, 36, and people remembered him for it. In Acts 13, 43, we see Barnabas encouraging the believers to remain in God's grace. Tychicus, as read in Colossians 4, 7 and 8. Was an encourager. God called Moses in Deuteronomy 1, verse 8, to be an encourager. God, through His Holy Spirit, creates and gifts encouragers. And then as we read about it in Romans 15, 4, we are taught about encouragement through Scripture. Can you imagine that God, our Heavenly Father, is the encourager? That God, through the Holy Spirit, makes encouragers? that God, through the Holy Scriptures, teaches and infuses encouragers. Look at verse 4. Paul says, these things that were written in the Scriptures so long ago are to teach us patience and encourage us. You see, God's Word not only teaches, but it encourages. Now, I've never done this before. 21 years of ministry, I've never done this before. We're going to do this. We're going to do something different today. I'm curious. That's right, I am turning the mic on again. I want someone out there today, it's going to feel like Bible study or Sunday school. Would someone, just anyone, would someone be willing? I'm going to encourage you to do this. I'm encouraging you to do this. Someone, anyone out there today, would you be willing to stand up and read Philippians 4:13 out loud? I'm going to mic you so everybody can hear you. Anybody? Anybody willing to stand up in front of the church, read Philippians 4:13? Listen to these words. Talk about God's Word encouraging us. Philippians 4:13. Anybody willing to do it? I know right now you're thinking, no way I'm doing it. And I'm telling you right now, I'm encouraging you to do it. Anybody? Anybody got a Bible that says, raise your hand if you're willing to do this. Anybody? All right, Jennifer. All right, you got it?
I know.
You got it? Okay, listen to this. This is, I've got it memorized too.
I may not quote it exactly though.
Okay, listen to this.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
She can do all things through Christ who strengthens her. Hey, Jennifer, you're right. That's right. Now let me ask you something. Everybody out here that I could see was saying, I'm not going to do it. Do you know what that means? I mean, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, speaking publicly is not, in fact, they say that's one of the greatest fears that people have. Don't worry about it. But we encouraged Jennifer to do it, and she did it. Now, how did she do it? She did it because she was encouraged by the strength of the Holy Spirit through the power of this church and God's written word, and she says, I know that passage. So let me ask you something. Did you hear what she said? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You say, I can't do it. Jesus says, yes, you can. Do you believe it? Because I believe it. I believe that Billy Becker can be healed because Jesus says, yes, I can. I believe everybody in this church that says, I can't do it. I believe God says, yes, you can. That's encouragement. God the Father, through His Spirit, with Scripture, allows us to see that indeed we can. Folks, we have to surround ourselves with encouragers to remind us that indeed we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through His Word, we see the importance and the influence of the encourager within the church. This is just one of the many reasons why you come to church. Because my hope is that when you leave church, you will say, I don't know, I can't understand it, I even can't explain it, but I can tell you this, I feel encouraged. And you can look at Jennifer, and you can look at any of our other workers or disciples or teachers or leaders, and you can say, you know what, that person, I don't know how they do it, but they encourage me today. And I can tell you, this is how we do it. We do it because God the Father gives us the power. Because the encouragement comes through the Holy Spirit, because His Word is the means to encourage us and teach us and lead us. But it happens right here in the church. Listen to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. By the way, for all of you people that ever drove down Route 9 years ago, used to be an old white church sign for the Covell Community Church, and it used to say Hebrews 10, 25. And it made me look, I remember like in 1994 when I was driving, I was like, hey, Hebrews 10, 25, I may not be familiar with that. Turned it on, I was like, oh, now I know why they put it on here. I'm going to read it to you. Still as applicable today as it was then. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this, and let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, folks, the church is a place where you will find encouragers. Paul told the members of the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he says, encourage each other to build each other up just as you're already doing. I marvel at those who say, I don't need church. I can be a believer and I don't need church. And I can say this, you can be a believer, you may not need church, but you won't find too many encouragers because encouragers are right here within the church. We encourage each other. And I'm going to tell you, we need it now more than ever. We agree? We need to be encouraged. I love what Paul told his friends in Rome in Romans 1, verse 12. Listen to these words. He says, for I long, he's telling his friends this, he says, for I long to visit you so that I can impart to you the faith that will help your church grow strong in the Lord. Then too, I need your help, for I want not only to share my faith with you, but to be encouraged by yours. Each of us will be a blessing to the other. You see, the church can twist congregants and encouragers together. Pastor Tony Evans once said, the church should be a place of heat that stirs people up. People need to be encouraged in their Christian walk. Sometimes you may be the one who needs the encouragement, but when you are not the person, you should be the cheerleader who encourages others on. And we see that in our sermon text, verses 5 through 7. Encouragers in this church today, your source of the encouraging power is God the Father through His Spirit, which you learn through the Holy Scriptures. But then your power is displayed in many ways to the people inside and outside of this church. You encourage others through your prayer. Paul, the encourager, did this, and we can too. As a matter of fact, if you read, jumping ahead, Romans 15, we did 1 through 7 as our sermon text, but let's read 13 real quick. Paul says this. He says, so I pray for you Gentiles, that God who gives you hope will keep you happy and full of peace as you believe in Him. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll take a little bit more peace and just a little bit more happiness in my life. He goes on. He says, I pray that God will help you overflow with hope in Him through the Holy Spirit's power within you. We don't need a cape. We just need hope. God gives us hope. Encouragers. You encourage others through your presence, not the gifts that you open and unwrap, not those presents, not with a T, but with a C. You encourage others through your presence. Paul was encouraged and strengthened and refreshed by the arrival of Titus, as seen in 2 Corinthians 7, 5 through 7. Encouragers, we need you among us and present to be our encouragement. When this happens, we are then encouraged thirdly by the praise and the worship that we share together. Look at verse 6. All of us can praise the Lord together with one voice, giving glory to God the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ. I would challenge you folks, and it breaks my heart when I look out and see a congregation with empty seats, and every pastor would say the same thing. It doesn't matter where you're at. Every pastor would tell you the same thing. But I've always wondered what would happen if we did this exercise. It was an exercise I read about done by a pastor. And what he did is he had his entire church, they did Amazing Grace. And one by one, he asked every single one of the people to leave, one by one, slowly. But they were still singing. And by the end of the song, there was only one person. It was him singing. And he said, this is what it sounds like when nobody's in the church. He says, we all need everybody to be encouraged and build others up in the church. Encouragers, we need you among us. We need you. We want you. We long to have you in our presence. Pastor of the small church was known as an encourager. And one day he was in the neighborhood of one of his congregants, known as Murphy, so he decided to go to the door and visit Murphy. Well, the front door of Murphy's house was badly warped, causing the door to jam now and then. To pry it open, they kept a hatchet handy. Well, that day the doorbell rang, Murphy himself peeked out through the curtains and then shouted in a voice that could be heard through three doors in the house, quick, Tommy, it's the pastor, get the hatchet. I know we can look at that and we say, you know what? Pastors and leaders and teachers and congregants and members, we're all in some way, shape, or form probably called to be encouragers. Others are gifted to be encouragers. But there are times when even the encouragers don't feel welcome or present or appreciated, even if it's a mistake. Folks, I tell you this today. We need our encouragers. Encouragers edify and build others up through their prayers and their presence and their praise. But if they're not utilizing their God-inspired, Holy Spirit-powered gift, then they're living selfishly, and they're forsaking the very gift that God gave them. We need encouragement. Encouragers, your task and your work is not simple, but it is scriptural. And it plays a vital role inside and outside of this church and this world. You're lifesavers. You're hope givers. Encouragers, you're game changers. You make us better. You build us up. Encourage us and help us to see that we can do anything through the strength that we gain in Jesus. We need you among us. Not everyone has the gift of encouragement, but everyone needs encouragement. And if God has empowered you with it, I beg you today to use it. It doesn't require a cape. It just requires all of us to give people just a little more hope. Let's be encouragers. When you eat at a restaurant, when you watch a movie, when you grocery shop, where you work, where you live, where you play, let somebody know that they're doing a great job. Let them know this today. This is the way we do it. Everywhere we go, doesn't matter, restaurant, I'm looking at you, Hannah. Doesn't matter if it's a restaurant, doesn't matter where we go, restaurant, movie theater, grocery store, our goal is to always, always make someone smile by telling them something that's important to them. We believe in that. We were at Meijer the other night, and we told this girl who was just doing a great job moving us through, and I said, we love your store, because I do. I love Meijer. I admit it. I do. I know it's crazy, but I love Meijer. And she said, you do? I said, oh, yeah. I love your store. I said, it's like a guy's playground for me. I said, it's like Sam's on not on steroids. And she said, boy, I've never really heard that before. I said, well, I also appreciate the fact that you're helping us. Look how fast you're moving us through this. We appreciate it. And she was so moved by those words. She had the biggest smile on her face. I thought, they don't hear it enough. They don't see it enough. But we need to show them enough how appreciative and how grateful we are. Isn't this what Jesus would do? And we're called to do what Jesus would do. We can all be encouragers. Let's stand and sing this final song. I think we know this song. Dan, I owe this to you. I was out mowing my yard yesterday, and people were walking by, bicycling by, and I was singing that song as I was mowing and praying. I was praying and singing at the same time, and every single person that walked by and saw me mowing my yard had to think I was halfway nuts based on the fact I'm going as I was mowing. We have encouragers among us. We have encouragers that we get to worship with each and every Sunday. You have encouragers that you live with and work with and get to hang out with. And these encouragers are so important. Folks, if you say, I want to be an encourager, it's easy to do it. Just recognize the things that people do around you and among you that make a difference in your life, in the lives of others. And I pray today that we would become encouragers, that we would see the great things around us and among us that God puts before us. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you're our encourager. You're it. And you give us encouragement through the Holy Spirit. You fill us with encouragement through your word. And you fill us with encouragement through this church. And today we believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us through Jesus. And so I pray today that we will seek to build up and edify and encourage others. And I pray today that we will grow in our faith. Help us to see beyond our own needs and our own ideas and our own examples, and help us today to encourage others to become leaders and teachers and disciples, and help us, I pray, to grow each and every day in your faith. Thank you for all that you give us. Thank you for this time together. And I pray today that you'll bless us as we move out of this church to encourage others. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.